So welcome to the Susie Radio Transfer Deadline Day podcast with myself, Ben. Jay's here. Very good evening, Jay.
Hello, Ben. How you doing?
Good. And Scott is in here as well.
Good evening, Ben.
And Scott, you've been with us for the drive show. Yeah. And we've been all over the transfer window. Mm-hmm. Very little happening, really, compared to other windows. But do you want to take us through some of the deals that have gone through so far?
Yeah, not a lot really happened throughout the drive show. A Newcastle signed Sadio Doumbé, and that was before the drive show. But during the drive show, Niasse arrived at Everton ahead of a move from Lokomotiv Moscow, and Abdoulaye Decore has signed for Watford from Rennes for £8 million. That's a record-breaking transfer for them. And Stoke are set to sign Imbula from Porto for £18.2 million, which is also another transfer record for them.
So as we mentioned, not a lot happening compared to other transfer deadline days. But a big story that came out today, which we kind of got to start with, is that Guardiola's off to Manchester City. And although it's not something that had to be announced today, it almost feels like it's part of a signing on transfer deadline day. Do you think this was strategic from Manchester City?
Yeah, probably. Still the thunder a little bit, perhaps, from any potential big signings today. Also, you know, the fact that it's a relatively quiet deadline day, isn't it? So if we didn't have that news, then what else would we have to talk about?
And it's big news as well, because
it is, yeah.
You know, especially for, I mean, all the papers are going to go with the whole United story. Will Mourinho be the only person that they can now bring in to combat Guardiola? All this stuff. But it's great news if you're a Manchester City fan. I mean, the football that you can expect now, and maybe even the players that they might bring in, it opens up all sorts of doors.
Yeah, it's an excellent signing for City. I do feel a little bit sorry for Pellegrini, because I think he's done a great job at City. I think he's done the job pretty well under the circumstances, and he finds himself walking out of the club in the summer through no real fault of his own, really. He's done a decent job with the players. But I think, with Guardiola coming in, I listened to Thierry Henry on the way here, on the drive here, and he was talking about how strict Guardiola is, and that the players had to run everything past him at Barcelona in terms of whether they can go to watch a tennis match or things like that. It sounds, you know, a whole new way of working. So it's obviously worked at Barcelona, it's obviously worked at Bayern Munich, so whether he adopts the same methods at Man City, be interesting to see.
I read a really interesting article which was explaining the difference between Pep Guardiola and, say, a Mourinho or a different manager. And what stands him apart is that final third, where he moves so quickly into the final third and then obviously into the box. And that's probably going to be something that may just well take City on to that next level. They're a good team at the moment, obviously missing Company this season, which I'm sure they'll look to strengthen. But to take them on to that next level, they've really got the guy that's going to be able to do that.
Yeah, and I think the last few signings in the transfer window have sort of been ready for Guardiola. They know it's been happening for a while. The likes of De Bruyne and Sterling obviously fit that bill for Guardiola. And there'll be quite a big overhaul in the summer. You say you need to strengthen at centre-back, but surely after spending £65 million on Mangala and Otamendi, that should be enough to do the job in hindsight, if you're spending that much money on people. But yeah, the defence still needs strengthening even after that money, which is crazy.
Well, the rumours, obviously, Stones fits into that style that Guardiola loves to play, even if he's been criticised a bit at the moment for actually playing out too much. But they're sort of saying £50 million for Stones, and it was mooted that sort of Manchester United were interested, Chelsea, and now it looks like City could. You know, if you were Stones and you got the opportunity to play under Guardiola, that's probably gonna sway you.
Massive draw, isn't it? I mean, Stones has been criticised in recent games for making mistakes, and I always think as a defender, it will make you a better player if you do make mistakes. You'll learn from it, and there's nobody better out there to learn from at the moment in a manager as Guardiola's stature, really. I mean, he's been to, you know, from Barca to Bayern Munich. You could argue that Bayern Munich did have a pretty decent squad when he joined, so he didn't have to do a massive overhaul, really. He's just taken them on to the next level to be even more dominant than they were before. So I'd be interested to see what he does at City, what he brings to City, but, it's a bit ominous, isn't it?
couple of tweets that interested me today were one from a Bayern Munich fan who said he's actually taken the club backwards, which really? I think was harsh in a couple of respects because they won the treble under his predecessor. So it was difficult enough for them anyway. I suppose they haven't won the Champions League. Well, they could yet this season, but they haven't done that under him. What is he in his third year now? Second year. So he hasn't won the Champions League yet. The league, I mean, another interesting tweet was Spain, Germany, the leagues are so set as the top teams that he'll get found out in England. I'm not sure he will, but it's interesting because there are a lot of teams that will play a certain way in England that will try and beat the system that he's going to play.
Yeah, people say the Premier League this year has been probably one of the worst, but in terms of competition, it's been one of the best.
Definitely.
You've seen Leicester, West Ham, Everton even, Stoke as well with their team. They're challenging for top six. Whereas in the Bundesliga, it's Bayern and then Dortmund. And then
even then, it's a gap, isn't it? Yeah, sometimes, so. You know, a few seasons. You know, in a Premier League, like you say, it's been so competitive this year. But it's you know, while it's not considered perhaps the best in the world at the moment, it's completely different. You've got teams beating each other this year, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know, you've got Leicester up there. And I think it's going to be a big challenge for him.
And the other thing was, you know, he's going to go and get Barcelona players, and Messi, or it might be coming to Manchester City. I wouldn't have thought that Messi would be interested because he would get kicked to pieces in the Premier League. I think it would be slightly different for him. So would he be interested in coming over here?
Well, he got kicked to pieces on Sunday, didn't he, against Atletico Madrid. I think Madrid had three players sent off for kicking him. So, I think players, honest players want to challenge themselves. And, you know, is Messi still challenging himself in Spain? The same as Ronaldo. I mean, Ronaldo's gone from the Premier League to La Liga. Has Messi really challenged himself by staying in La Liga? You would argue that he could go and try another league and see if he can do it. No doubt he can do it in the Premier League. But like you say, it'd be great to see a player of that stature before he reaches his latter years, which seems to be the case. You know, we do get some of these players coming to England as their final payday sometimes.
And worth pointing out that Messi is a couple of years younger than Ronaldo as well. He's only 28, so he's still sort of in that prime as well. Mm. Be interesting to see what happens, and it will rumble on through the summer of who Manchester City will sign. Also interesting to see who Manchester United will get as their next manager and who Chelsea will get as their manager, and will this have any impact? Because if you're Chelsea and Man United, I mean, the bar's been set now for next season. Who do you go and get? I mean, Mourinho's obviously in the frame for United, but as a Chelsea director, who do you go and get now to make a statement?
They're looking at an Italian, either Conte from Juventus or Massimo Allegri to come in. They're the two Italians being linked, and I think they will do a good job there, given the amount of Premier League managers of higher quality nowadays. Like you mentioned, Mourinho to Man United, that might happen. You've got Guardiola, you've got Klopp, you've got Wenger, all in the Premier League nowadays, and it's going to be an exciting few seasons under Guardiola. But going back to John Stones, it would be better for him, obviously, to develop under Guardiola, but better for the Premier League if he stayed at Everton.
Definitely.
And they built that spine around Stones, Lukaku, Bartley. And like you see Stoke doing with Arnautovic, Bojan, the likes of Afellay as well. They're seriously becoming a top half team, and it's good for the neutral just to see all these teams doing well.
Who he knocked out the cup at the weekend?
Who Palace knocked out of the cup?
So just had to get it in, sorry.
It's fine. So we mentioned that obviously it's been quite a quiet transfer window. We're looking ahead to the summer, and you expect that to be busy with new managers at Chelsea, City and possibly even Manchester United as well. As far as this transfer window, who hasn't strengthened? Let's look at the top teams first of all. Leicester may strengthen, Scott, for the rest of the evening. They're obviously at the top of the Premier League. Who else needed to strengthen that hasn't, in your opinion?
Just looking at the table, probably, well, Newcastle need to strengthen, don't they? But one that needs to strengthen that hasn't is Villa. Like, I don't know why they haven't bought anyone.
They've given up. They're facing facts,
you know,
already.
Given the FFP that's coming in next year, the new money, the new TV deal, you don't. The importance of staying in the Premier League is that much more than it was this season.
But are Villa having problems attracting players because ultimately they're odds on now to go down? Is that the problem? Would you sign for Villa? They're looking to add quality. You've got to bring in players that are better than what you've got. Would you sign for Villa if you're in that position?
I think it's a bit of both. The players don't want to play for a relegated team almost, but the owners aren't really helping on their front as well. They're not putting any money whatsoever in the club. Like, the owners in America half the time, you don't even care about the football club. So I think it's more down to the owners being reluctant to spend any cash, knowing that they will go down, and they are looking to sell the club anyway.
Is this transfer window quiet because teams strengthen so well in the summer? Well, you think of the likes of Tottenham, they've done really well. You know, the Manchester City have got a big squad. They spent a lot of money in the summer on Sterling and De Bruyne and others. Manchester United spent a lot of money in, you know, Depay and Martial.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's where having an effect now, that teams have strengthened really well, and that's why the window's perhaps not as busy, or is it other reasons?
I'd say, like Jay mentioned it when we weren't recording, but the FFP has kicked in this year. You see a lot of teams spending less money. But I would have thought with the managerial changes over this Premier League season so far, the likes of, you know, Klopp at Liverpool, he would have got to see his squad now for a good couple of months. So it surprised me he hasn't really brought anyone in yet, but there we go.
They were looking at
Alex Teixeira.
Teixeira from Shakhtar.
Yeah, Shakhtar basically put a $40 million price tag on his head, and Liverpool went, thanks but no thanks, and they'll come back for him in the summer.
That's the thing in January, though, isn't it? You do tend to pay through the nose. So the later you get in the transfer window, particularly now, if teams are going to sign somebody today, it's going to be all last minute, and it's going to be paying a few million more than what they probably would have expected to pay even in the summer, or even at the start of January, or even back in August when, you know, the summer deadline finished. So
yeah, you look at Torres, $50 million to Chelsea. Carroll, $35 million to Liverpool. Suarez, $22 million, but that was probably worth every penny considering what he did. So as the window closes, you probably may see the likes of Berahino even go for something like $25 million if he does go.
Mm. Well, it's interesting with Berahino. I've got a bit of a theory. Newcastle have obviously shelled out a lot of money in this window alone. Yeah. Do you think with Berahino, it could be a ploy by Mike Ashley to say, well, you know what? They're not going to sell him. We've been told they're not going to sell him. Let's put in a bid for $21 million, so it looks like we're doing something. And it appeases the fans. If your football club goes out there, if Crystal Palace came out there this morning and said, we've put in a bid of $21 million for Berahino, all of a sudden you think, well, these owners mean business. The club means business. The club could knowingly, you know that Berahino's not going to go anywhere. Is that something that goes on?
I think it's Palace. I think they'd be going crazy. I mean, going back to, you mentioned Newcastle there, they've spent a lot of money in this transfer window. They've invested well, particularly in Shelvey. I think that's a great signing. Also, Andros Townsend, you know, remains to be seen how he does, but he's a good winger, and they don't really have that winger that can hug the touchline and cross from deep on the byline. On the flip side, you've got Villa, who haven't really done anything, but, you know, you've got two sides of the story there. Villa are already looking to the Championship and thinking, if we throw money at it, then, you know, we're going to be in trouble with the FFP, perhaps, whereas Newcastle are not even thinking about that. They're just throwing money at it and going for it. The Berahino situation is a peculiar one, isn't it? I mean, West Brom saying, I don't want to sell for $21 million, although he seems to be, all the clubs seem to say, is that he causes problems in the dressing room and on the training ground. So I'm not sure why you'd want to keep a player like that who you don't play regularly, who is still rated as, teams want to pay that money for him to get him.
And what would you think if you were Alan Pardew? If you were Pardew and you've been at Newcastle and you've not had that much money to spend and you've suddenly gone, in comes Steve McLaren, and already he's got a lot of money to spend. And let's be honest, he hasn't performed very well either. They're in the bottom, they're in the relegation battle, and all of a sudden Mike Ashley's decided that money can be thrown at this.
Yeah, I'd look on the positive side of Pardew. I've got my best midfielder that I had under at Newcastle. I've got Kabay in the Palace squad. That's one positive, and I'm doing a hell of a lot better than they are now. So I can't, if I was Pardew, I'd look back and say, well, I can't really moan now. I'm in a better place than I was 18 months ago.
Yeah.
And what other deals? We talked about a few of the bigger deals. What are the smaller deals that have gone through? Alex McCarthy was at Palace. He looks like he's going on loan to Fulham.
Yeah, it's rumoured to be at Fulham tonight to discuss a loan deal, which Pardew's come out and said that he wants him to be playing football. He's obviously not getting a chance. Hennessy is number one at Palace at the moment. Speroni's not going to go anywhere. He's Palace through and through, so I don't expect Speroni to go on much longer than this season, personally, so he'd be a good backup for us. And we may be in the market for another keeper, because Pardew likes his three keepers since he had trouble at Newcastle when two of his first two choice keepers were injured. He had to play a youth player in goal in the Premier League. So I think he's learnt from that, and he's always wanted to have three keepers. So
Anything else that's going on around the leagues? Well, Jordan Rhodes' situation is interesting. Mm. Yesterday, he was all set to sign for Middlesbrough. Then it was off, and now it's back maybe on. Back on again.
Yeah, it's back on. He's arrived at Middlesbrough training grounds, and apparently the deal's very close to being completed. Whether that's seen to be true in the next couple of hours, or will he be making the trip back to Blackburn? Who knows? But I've also signed Richie Delatt in the past half hour on a loan deal from Leicester. So that just shows they're preparing for the Premier League now. You know, they are the favourites to go up this year, and why not? They've got the squad to do so.
And that's probably why, just sort of moving away from the transfer window, Derby County, who spent a lot of money in this window and in the last window, they're under pressure at the moment to get results because they've spent the same as Middlesbrough, but yet Derby are, what, fifth in the Championship. A lot of money going around in the Championship, but I guess if you spend that, you've got to get to the Premier League, otherwise the knock-on effect is... Although Middlesbrough have got Steve Gibson, who's quite a well-off chairman, shall we say.
Yeah, it's chasing dream, isn't it? You know, there's that pot of gold which is enticing these clubs and owners. You know, if you're in the upper half of the, you know, Championship table at this point in the season, you've got a good chance of challenging. And Middlesbrough, for me, if they get Jordan Rhodes, I think that'll seal their promotion, really, to have somebody that can consistently score goals like he does for Blackburn in a struggling side. He does it, so you know, in a team like Middlesbrough who create chances, I think that would see them finishing in the top two.
Are you surprised that Jordan Rhodes hasn't had an opportunity in the Premier League? Because you look at the likes of Sunderland down there, even the likes of Aston Villa as well, that are towards the bottom of the table. Perhaps a West Brom, if Berahino moves on, Jordan Rhodes would have been someone to bring in. Are you surprised that nobody's done that? Crystal Palace, for example?
I've been a big advocate of Jordan Rhodes for the last couple of seasons, and we have been rumoured to have looked at him a couple of years ago when he was in his second season at Blackburn. I like him, and I think he would suit our style really well, you know, having a lone striker role. You know, we already have Connor Wickham. We've just signed Adebayor, but Jordan Rhodes would play that role exceptionally well, and I think I'd like to see him given a chance in the Premier League. I think he deserves it. And I think, you know, there's lesser players than him that have scored goals in the Premier League. So, you know, I think I'd like to see him, you know, up to that challenge.
We'll see what he does with Middlesbrough, as you say, probably in the Premier League next season. So looking ahead to the last few hours of the transfer window, it is open till 11 o'clock. Anything that we're expecting to happen, apart from Berahino possibly making his way to Newcastle, Stoke seems to have given up on that. Any other deals that you expect to go through between now and 11?
Everton signing Niasse from Lokomotiv Moscow. He's having a medical at the moment, so that should go ahead, all going well, before 11. And Loic Remy being heavily linked to a move to Leicester, even though Dwight Gale has been linked, but he's signed a new contract at Palace now. And the $23 million for Ahmed Musa, they didn't want to spend that much, so Remy's the next best thing for them. So it'd be interesting. He's odds on with Skybet to sign for Leicester as well.
Be interesting to see where, if he does end up at Leicester. I guess that only boosts their chances. They're only in the Premier League. I think it was 15 games they've got to play between now and the end of the season. Compare that with 20 plus for all of the other teams. Looking good for them. A big game for Leicester on Wednesday against Liverpool. And then, of course, it's City and Arsenal. Looking ahead now to the rest of the season with the window very close to being shut. Well, we're 3.5 hours away as we record this. Do you think that who's going to be strong now? Tottenham not done anything today apart from let Alex Pritchard go. They seem set up with their squad. We have a clear idea, I guess, of what it's going to be like at the end of the season.
I think it's as you were, really. I don't think anybody's brought anybody in that's going to make a real huge impact on those sides. So I think those sides up the top end of the table, like Leicester, Tottenham, Arsenal, they're going to continue as they are batting out for that title. And as you mentioned, Leicester, you know, all the pundits keep saying it's not going to last. They keep coming up against these big sides, big games, and they keep winning. So it'd be fantastic to see them win the title. I mean, it reminds me or echoes the season that Blackburn won the title in the Premier League. Kind of come from nowhere. They spent a fair bit of money to do it, but Leicester would be very refreshing, I think.
And do you think, looking ahead to the next window, obviously we mentioned there's going to be lots of signings, the likes of Mahrez and Vardy potentially won't be at Leicester. Do you think the clubs will come? Wouldn't it surprise me if City came in for Mahrez and added to their plethora of of wingers, maybe Navas will be in his way out or something like that.
Yeah, you know, Vardy and Mahrez have contributed 31 of Leicester's 42 goals this season. So
crazy, isn't
it? Just, it shows how important they are to them. And that's probably why they're looking at, you know, Remy, Mamadou from Stoke as well, also being linked, just to, you know, support Vardy, take the burden off him. I know he loves thriving off pressure, but he can't do it all himself, single-handedly. Unless, well, he's a miracle maker and Leicester win the Premier League by not signing another striker.
And lastly, I guess, you know, we get to the transfer window day and we set our predictions for the rest of the season because we always think, well, until the transfer window, something will change. For you, Jay, going down, you still stick with maybe Villa going down?
Yeah, I think so, because they haven't gone for any significant strengthening in the transfer window, which I was kind of, you know, half expecting they wouldn't anyway. It seems to be the writing's on the wall for them, really, you know, stuck at the bottom. I think they've had a couple of relatively decent results, but they need wins, you know, win after win to get out of the trouble they're in. Joining them, it's a really tough call. For me, I'm going to go for Norwich. I don't think, I mean, they've spent a little bit of money, but I don't think they've got enough to get out of that. The bottom three. I don't think they're in the bottom three at the moment, but I think as the season goes on, I think Bournemouth are stronger, certainly, and I think Swansea will probably pull themselves away from trouble. Third team for me, I'm going to go for Sunderland. I think Big Sam will struggle with his Sunderland side. I haven't particularly strengthened really in this window, and I think that might, you know, the sacking of Advocate might backfire on them.
Interesting that a quote from West Brom that said they didn't want to let Berahino go because they still don't feel that they're completely safe. Mm. But you'd think they'd probably got enough, certainly under Pulis, as they don't play football out of their half anyway.
Well, they don't concede many goals by saying that they let in two against Peterborough in the Cup at the weekend, didn't they? But they're a very strong defensive unit, aren't they, in the Premier League? Pulis knows his way around. I do wonder if it might be the end of Pulis. You know, even if they stay up, I think there's a lot of unhappy fans at West Brom at the moment, and particularly the style of play. I know a couple of fans up there who aren't enjoying the season, probably won't renew next season because it's not very enjoyable. So be interested to see what happens there, really, because I think there's some of the transfer deals that he's wanted to do haven't really come off, hasn't been supported in the transfer market, and we know what happened with him at Palace.
And Scott, we said it's as you are at the top of the league because nobody's really got involved apart from Leicester maybe strengthening with Loic Remy later, we'll have to see. Do you think the for you, is it still... I heard on a TV show at the weekend it was a two-horse race between City and Arsenal, a little bit disrespectful. For you, who's gonna finish in the top four? Are we as we are? Are we going to have United, Liverpool sneaking in now?
I'd say as you are. Leicester, Man City, Arsenal, Tottenham, they look the four strongest sides in the league and they should finish in the top four. Man United, you never know what can happen and what Van Gaal would, what his side can do, whether they'll win 1-0 or, you know, like they did at Newcastle, score three goals in a game, which surprised everyone, really. Liverpool, again, four players back from injury in the next 2 weeks, so they could, you know, push on, but it's unlikely. But I'd say, yeah, stay as you are for the top four and agree with Jay for the relegations.
Best quote of the transfer window was Louis van Gaal, and that was a quote in one of the matchday programmes, I think, when they were taking on Sheffield United in the FA Cup, and it said, "I don't like to do business in this window because it's not an ideal window for the players to have the sessions settle in and produce their best football." Brilliant quote that, because I read it and I just thought, the summer's obviously not an ideal window either because they're really not producing their best football. But we shall see. Maybe, just maybe, Lou van Gaal will have the last laugh at the end of the season.
That top four you mentioned, I think European competition will have a big impact on what happens in that top four, because Tottenham have a tough run of fixtures. I only looked at it earlier because Palace have drawn them in the cup, and in the middle of that run they have Man City away on the Sunday, they go to Italy to play Fiorentina on the Thursday, then they play us in the cup, and the following week they play Fiorentina again. So, you know, a tough fixture list for some of these clubs in Europe, so be interesting to see how or whether that has any impact on it at all.
We watch with interest. Jay, Scott, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Pleasure.
Don't forget you can find out more on Suzy Radio. You can listen to the Saturday Sports Show from 3 o'clock every Saturday afternoon. And also, our football show on Suzy Radio is Back of the Net, and that is on every Thursday night from 7 o'clock.